there's just this intensely personal love that he has for each one of you and that he has for the world. Even as Kayleen opened the service this morning, reminding us of what he said in John. And because he loves so much, God gives guidance and he reveals what he wants to do at a particular time, at a particular place in history. And he has purpose for you and for me, and he has purpose for this church. And a couple of weeks ago, perhaps you were here, perhaps you weren't here, but I want to remind you of some prophetic words that God has spoken over this church, of his desire, his purposes. Pastor Dave, as he was preaching a couple of weeks ago, he said, I'm going to synthesize this, and so I'm just repeating his synthesis of four particular words that were given over a short period of time, about 2014, I think. A very mighty wave of revival is coming, and the Lord says, get ready. Gold Avenue Church will experience a river of revival that releases the flow of God's love into the city. Okay, so it's not a river of condemnation. It's a river of God's love. People's lives in the community will be transformed by the love of God. Many people will come in. They'll be saved and equipped with this message of love so that they can be sent out and share it. Not just here, but around the world. This wave of a revival will draw diverse multitudes into the kingdom as we, like Jesus' first disciples, put our nets where Jesus tells us to put them. It'll be like the Azusa Street revival, where a fire starts and then spreads out, breaking out eventually all around the world. There'll be worship with great abandon. The experience of God's very real, tangible presence will be in our worship, so strong and glorious and compelling that without a word, people will be healed and delivered. Addictions will fall out without expensive treatments. Gold Avenue Church will be known as a center of healing, and only the Lord will get the glory. God will make Gold Avenue Church a gem and a trophy. God will redig the wells of revival. Revival in the Christian Reformed Church will come through Gold Avenue Church because the Lord will use the least of these. The Lord will pour out an unquenchable thirst for righteousness on Gold Avenue Church. The Lord will meet all of our needs, sending people with gifts. A very mighty wave of revival is coming. Get ready. Well, how do we prepare for revival? And Pastor Dave, if you remember, gave three essentials that somebody by the name of, he was a great evangelist, R.A. Torrey, he gave these three essentials. He said, intercessory prayer, evangelism, and baptism, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is essential. So we need to share the Father's heart. We need to speak the Father's heart. We need to reveal the Father's heart through our words and deeds. And so last Sunday, Mark preached about this hinge point on Easter, the hinge point of eternity, that there was this moment in history when Jesus laid down his life and was risen from the dead, and he won the victory over death, over disease, over all, once for all. And so this is the good news. And today, we're going to look at how else do we participate in preparing for this altar of revival, of seeing the Lord's love just be so, like everybody caught up in the love of God and the joy of his presence in his kingdom. And so we're going to look at the topic of prayer and God's heart for the world. And so today's a topical sermon. So for those of you that know what a topical sermon is, it's taking different scriptures in the Bible and saying this is what the Bible says on a particular topic, rather than digging deep onto one passage. But I want to start with John 17. And in the New Testament, that's your fourth book. John 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, yeah, fourth book. John 17, 20 to 26. All right. So this is what that scripture says. And this is Jesus praying. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone," referring to the disciples. He said, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So he's praying for the lost there. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, loved them even as you've loved me." All right, get that. Lost people, that they will know that God the Father loves them just as much as he loves his own son, because they're going to be his own sons and daughters. "Father, I want you, those that you've given to me, to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself, the King of the universe, may be in them." This is the word of God. Amazing. He loves us so much. I want to tell you a story about a situation where I saw a lot of love, and it was on Easter Sunday. In the afternoon, we got invited over to our daughter-in-law's parents' home for Easter dinner in the afternoon. And they have a little granddaughter, one grandchild they have. And so the parents of that child were there. My son and daughter-in-law, who are the auntie and uncle, were there. The girl's grandpa, the father was there, so the grandpa on the mom's side. And then Dane and I are in there in the mix just because we're related to their son-in-law. So anyway, so here we are. And what do? For the whole afternoon, like, we ate some food. It was great. It was really great, but because I didn't have to cook. But there's this little baby in the floor, about 9 months old, little peach fuzz hair, and she scooted. She scooted backwards, trying to crawl forwards. And anyway, and everybody's like, "Oh." And anyway, and then she kind of gets this little, like, she's trying to belly crawl and using just one leg, and it's shifting her around and around in a circle. And anyway, and everybody's like, "Oh, look how cute." And anyway, and then the grandpa picks her up and he goes, "A grandchild would make it worth it to just go ahead and retire." Like, he's looking in her eyes and he just is loving this little child so much. Now imagine with me that something horrible separated this precious child from her parents and grandparents. Don't you know that they would do anything possible to find that child and bring that child back home? Because we love this family, we would too. Even though we don't know this child, we just watch this child once scoot around and capture our hearts. But we would do anything we could to help bring that child home. We see this playing out with family members of the hostages that Hamas took, right? That kidnapped. Like, they want their family members home. How much more does God want each of his children? Every person in the world made in his image. Our image bearing of God, how we look may not, and how we act may not look like it because of sin. But he wants to restore us. And that's all about what the Easter story was about. It's about God's heart of love. He loved us so intensely that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, how do you get restored? You believe that Jesus died on that cross to pay for your sins. The NET Bible says it this way, for this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. Think about it. When we were singing, you are worthy of it all, I was thinking, and God was probably singing, you are worthy of it all, as his son died on the cross, looking ahead to each one of you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he would give up his own precious son to make a way for you to be restored and for me to be restored. It's emphasizing God's love. God's heart and Jesus' heart was broken for the lost. He modeled God's heart of compassion. Mark 6:34 is when Jesus had taken the disciples, you might remember this story, to a solitary place because they were tired and they needed a lot of rest. And the crowds followed them where they went. And so when Jesus landed, they'd gone by boat to get away and rest. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering, they were vulnerable, they were lost, they were broken, and he had compassion. That word compassion, it means to be moved like your bowels move. And that's kind of gross, but think about this. They thought that really that your bowels were the core of where you felt everything. You feel it in your gut, all right? And so Jesus was so moved with love and also with pity because they were lost sheep. They were spiritually lost people and they needed their relationship with God restored. And so he had compassion on them. He also had intense grief over lost people. When he entered Jerusalem before his crucifixion, it says in Luke 19:41 and 42, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace. Remember, peace is nothing lost, nothing broken. But now it's hidden from your eyes. It says Jesus wept. It doesn't mean he teared up. The word in the original language means like grieving and wailing at a funeral. All right? And so he is lamenting over the city. I think about how that, like I said, if our friends lost their little grandbaby and something happened, they wouldn't just tear up a little bit. Ah! Where is she? And to think that Jesus stands over Jerusalem and he looks not at the people just there, but I imagine he's looking back at all the people since sin, and he's looking forward until the time that Jesus comes, and he is wailing. He is grieving, and he's wanting the relationship restored because of love. He has compassion. Just recently, I heard a story, and it cracked me up. It cracked me up because this woman was just so real. She's one of the Vision School teachers, and she told the story of her little children, her two little children, wanting a pet. And she did not want any pets, but she agreed that they could get some fish. And so they went to the store and got these little microscopic, translucent, tiny fish. She said you could hardly even see them in the water, two of them. They had two children, and she brought this little bag of fish, and she didn't want an aquarium and all that, so she just put a clear plastic cup and put the fish in the cup. And the two little girls would get up every morning, and they would come and look over the counter, and they gave names to their fish. She said they were so little, how could they even tell them apart? But she gave names. And then the girls went to school, and her friend came over who had a toddler, and apparently the toddler got thirsty and took the cup and drank it and swallowed the fish. She said she was looking everywhere for, you know, did he possibly drop them and they still be on the floor or anything, but no, no fish. So her little girls came home from school and they were heartbroken. And she said the little girls started crying and crying, and so she was trying to comfort them, and she's thinking, I don't even like fish. I don't want pets in the first place. But her little girls were crying so much that pretty soon she was crying with them. And later that evening, she was working it out with the Lord and saying, God, why? Why was I crying? I don't even care about fish. And he said, it's because your daughters love them so much. And it's like God's love for the world. And the more we love God, the more that even if in our own nature, in our own selves, we think, I don't care that much, or that's really not about me, I'm not connected to this situation, I don't even want this situation or want to know about that situation. But if we love God, we'll find ourselves weeping. Do you love God? I felt really challenged. When I listened to that story, I laughed. I thought it was so funny because she was just so real. And then I felt like I should just be lamenting because I don't think I have that much love because I'm not crying and I'm not praying because I know that's what would make a difference. Not the tears necessarily, but to share his heart so that on my day off, I'd remember I'm a Christian. And I have something to offer people. I walked in to get my hair cut on my day off this week. And she goes, one of the hair people at Supercuts, I go wherever I can go that's like the cheapest place. And anyway, and I walk in and she goes, hi, preacher. Hi. And so if anybody that's sitting in chair looks around, you know. And so then when she says, you know, let's wash your hair, she goes, so what's the good word for today? And my first thought was, I could just kind of let this go, and yeah, today's a good day, it's sunny out there. And anyway, but immediately I felt like the Lord said, pay attention, she's wanting a word from me, listen, ask me. And so I'm like, God, so she's washing my hair and I'm like, God give me a word. And anyway, and then I feel like he says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Don't get weary in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest. And so I gave her that word. I said, this is what I sense the Lord's good word is today for you. And so I shared it, and she was like, oh. I said, does that mean anything to you? And she said, yeah. She goes, we've been saving up for a vacation, but my daughter's transmission just blew, and they need money for that. And anyway, and so she talked the rest of the time that I was getting my hair cut about how she didn't used to know God, but now she knows God, and she prays, and she, you know, reads scripture. And she's trying to trust him, but when this situation got really hard and she was really stressing out. And anyway, and it meant something specific to her. That's how much God loves us. We'll pray and we'll pay attention to what's going on if we have the heart and the love of God for people. Love led Jesus to serve the lost through intercessory prayer. Just like we read earlier, he said, I pray for those who will believe. And do you know that now he lives to intercede, which means to pray, to stand in the gap. It says this, Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save completely. Can you say completely? All right, so I'm in poverty, I'm in addiction, I've got all kinds of things against me and my background and stuff. Can he save a little bit of that?
No, he'll save it completely. I'm relatively in moderate middle class, and I just have a very apathetic attitude towards life, and I struggle with some depression and some anxiety. Can he save a little bit of that? Can he help with a little bit of that? Or would he send me just to go take a walk and do some deep breathing? He can save us completely. And he can save those around us completely. He can save every one of you completely as you put your faith and trust in him. All right? He lives to intercede. We're disciples. Everybody who follows Jesus is called a disciple. It means a student. And you try to learn from your rabbi, the teacher. And so he is praying because it's effective. It's the way that the kingdom comes about. The way that God's grace is bestowed is as people pray. And so what do we do as students? Do we go, oh, that's what he does, but I'm going to live my life without prayer? Or do we say, no, we're being students to try to be formed and shaped like him so that we'll pray? Well, we are invited to be formed and shaped like Jesus because it's powerful and effective. And remember, if my friends lost their granddaughter, I say, I would do anything. God has a world of children that are lost and separated from him. Will we pray? We can help by praying. And so the fourth point that I want to make is this. Intercessory prayer is a preparation for revival. Reviving our hearts and then to see this move of God's love go out from this place and touch all of our neighbors, our friends, our family members, this city, the state, the nations of the world. Jonathan Edwards said he was a great, great evangelist, and actually he was used to help start the Great Awakening. He said the role of extraordinary prayer is key to the Father sending outpourings of the Holy Spirit. When God has something very great for his church, it's his will that they should proceed with extraordinary prayers. I was going to show you a little video of a song by Lorne Wells. He's a contemporary music writer and singer. Maybe we can put that in the All Church email this week and you can watch it. But here he is. Hundreds of years later, with the same message. All the world starts changing when the church starts praying. Strongholds start to break. Oh, when we pray, prison walls start shaking at the sound of praising. Nothing stays the same. I see revival rising. I see hope on the horizon. How many of us know the world needs hope? We need hope. As a generation, step out in faith, because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King because we believe. How do we respond to a message like this? Do you go, oh, that's really interesting that God loves the world, that Jesus had compassion, that intercession prayer is effective, and this is the way it ushers in revival? That's really helpful to know that. Thank you very much. Or do we go, oh, I've got friends. I've got my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my neighbors, my classmates, my neighbors three doors down. I've got the people I work with don't know Jesus yet. And we need to pray. Like, let's pray now. Church, I believe that God is calling us for extraordinary prayer. And this may be very familiar to you, or this may be the first time you've ever encountered people that prayed and prayed like they mean it, and that God is here and going to listen and answer. But I'm going to ask you right now to get in little circles. And if you've never prayed out loud, you can just pass or you can just sit and listen. You don't have to say anything. But I want those in your circle to pray, to have compassion and pity on the world and on our loved ones, and do something about it by praying.